AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Good to be with you on your Monday, Matt, Sam. Sam, I missed you, by the way. I was hoping to see you on the debate night we had over at Park Tavern last week.
Yeah, I was going to try to make it out, but I'm back in school and I have a lot of work.
What's the worst class you got?
Well, I like them all, but Calculus 2 has been pretty tough.
That's a little worky.
It's a lot of work.
you got number two pencils. You're going to need a lot of them and erasers.
And graphing calculators. And
oh, gosh. I always remember taking some of those math classes and getting the wrong answer and then being told, figure out what you did. And you're looking at five pages of to get where you're like – okay.
Yeah, one problem takes multiple pages, but I'm going for physics, so I think calculus is – I need to know it, so I better learn it.
Yeah, we got brain guy here on staff. physics, wow. That's not usually the standard producer we have here. I can tell you pretty much most of the cartoons from the 1980s that aired on Saturday morning television. I mean, really, if you want to get into a real debate, but fine, physics. You want to do physics? Fine. I can tell you more about Doctor Who than I really probably should be able to. Love the fourth Doctor.
See, I could get in and break down some of the physics concepts.
Yeah, that's what I need. Reality right. Brought into my science fiction. Yes. Hey, that blaster wouldn't work like that. Is it really? Really, thank you. Because nothing Lord knows I want is so a dash of reality with my fantasy. No matter how you want to take that, you can just go with any of the individual fantasies. All of a sudden, here comes Dr. Bob to explain a few things. Oh, good.
I am a big Star Wars fan. It makes it hard to fight with myself about some of the stuff.
Could you make a lightsaber, physics boy? Could you?
I think it would burn you up if you turned it on, but it's a cool idea.
Well, when you get – you know, they started off with those communicators on Star Trek, and look what we all got now, huh? We all have the iPhones. We all have those. For a while, they were flip phones because they were all just like it because we had to be like Kirk. But now, come on. We can get lightsabers, teleportation. Come on. Work on it there, Brainiac. I will – on the opposite side of physics, guy, all right, on the opposite side, you're going to be shocked to find out that we had a bit of a – crisis. I will call it a crisis this summer in Minneapolis. An absolute crisis. As Dr. Stephen Smith talked about, and I got this out of the Glean out of MinnPost, over his 33-year career as an emergency doctor, doctor has seen a lot, but he was seeing five people each day with a brand new malady here in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Scooter injuries. Every single day, five ER visits per day on scooters.
Didn't you call that happening like way back when scooters first came out on this very show?
Gee willikers. How could you have guessed? Drunk 20-something-year-olds looking for something fun to do on a Saturday night? ow. It followed quickly by ow, because they decided to put their feet on the scooter, but didn't really have a grip of it when they, and the next thing you know, ta-da! Five injuries per day on the scooters. It does bring, I mean, okay, you're right. I mean, did I call it right? You know, white people heading downtown drinking, and all of a sudden, I got crazy. We can get to the next bar and walk. See all those things over there. I've got an app. And, you know, the scariest thing in the world is that, you know, it is really that simple. It's like button. Okay, it was ready to go. No need to check to see. I mean, if I go to the state fair and I get on a ride and I am schnockered. Carney guy is not going to let me get on the ride. He's just not. His liability alone is going to be, I'm sorry, sir, you're, you know, as he, you know, whistles through the two teeth, you know, I'm sorry, sir, you can't get on this ride. Okay. I get it. And do you really want, and the guy doesn't want to hose off the vomit, and let's just be honest about it. The zipper is not exactly a stomach-friendly ride. So, You have this, but you don't have any whatsoever. A person saying, "Oh, this is a good idea." I saw one over in Lake Cal, excuse me, Lake of the Woods, or Lake of the Woods, Lake of the Isles, just north of Bademakaska. It was there was one in the water.
Why doesn't that surprise me?
I'm shocked there wasn't a body floating next to it, if you want to know the truth. Well, it looks like he ran out of road. He did that Thelma and Louise, only a lot less exciting. It just kind of slowly went right into Lake of the Isles, and that was the end of him.
For show prep, I should have done some physics calculations about how hard somebody hits the ground when they fall off a scooter.
Oh, they hit them hard, man. I've seen one guy go down on one of them. But, okay, there is the element of this, and it brings up something I've been wanting to talk about for a little bit now. But I don't want to come across as preachy, and I'm not trying to be preachy. I don't want to be preachy. You do what you want to do. If it's legal, knock yourself out. But we got to talk a little bit about the drinking right now, okay? And particularly two things that have happened. Now, for the record, I stopped drinking years ago. It was a health issue for me. And I did a lot where I did the thing where I said, oh, well, I really want to do this. I'll still drink like this. And I just didn't know it. No, cold turkey. Done. Finished. Haven't regretted it once. Now, that's not saying you should. I will say this. Health-wise, it's shocking how much healthier I felt when it really started wearing off, which took about 3 months for it to really start to wear off. And immediately I went in for, my first checkup after kind of the alcohol cleared the system. Your blood pressure's back to normal. All these good things. And you're like, you're looking good. You're not nearly as half dead as you used to be, Matt. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's a plus. I mean, I will say that, but I also will say we as a culture are very pro-drinking. I've talked about the prohibition exhibit they had at the Minnesota History Museum, where they basically made alcohol illegal. And it talks about the fight to make alcohol illegal and then the decision to, rescind that constitutional amendment. And one of the things that really becomes pretty astounding is how much of a country of drunks we were from like the 1820s to the 1840s, where people would have a barrel of cider right there, just out in the field. And at any point in any given day, they could take their ladle, get a big old drink of it, and back to work. And these people were schnockered by about 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was so bad to a point that there was one county, I think it was in New York, he said that over half the farm failings they had that year in that county were due to consumption, not weather, not crops. They were just drunk so much. They weren't getting anything done. And, I mean, there's a reason why the anti-alcohol movement started. I mean, there was quite a bit of drinking going on. I mean, Edgar Allan Poe, I'm a big fan of Edgar Allan Poe, and towards the end of his life, I mean, the stories you'd hear out of the cities of America, particularly Baltimore in his case, where, there are bars you went to where do you want to get drunk or do you want to pass out drunk? Those were your two options. They had two barrels behind the bar. You could get drunk or you get passed out drunk. And most people took the passed out drunk. And, that was just the way it was. It was just this astonishing amount. They had a wall. I'll never forget in the exhibit, they had a wall which featured the average intake of alcohol of an American in, I think it was 1825, and it was these tall jugs, probably 2 gallons, and it was a wall of those jugs down like this. I'm like, holy God! We used it that way. And the Europeans thought we were just a bunch of drunks. They'd come over here, and there are so many people drinking all the time. It was a real problem. And, I think that the fact that we've kind of gotten wiser, we do understand temperaments, and we do have people that don't drink like they used to drink. And some people do. I will say this, not only will you be healthier, but, if you do get heavy duty into the drinking, it will cost you a lot sometimes. I mean, I've seen people lose their spouses, their kids, their job, their houses, and their lives. I have seen that. And it's terrifying to watch someone who has chosen alcohol over everything else in this world. And it's very difficult. When you give up drinking, one of the first things you notice is that there is an insane amount of alcohol ads on television. There is an insane amount. There isn't a sporting event broadcast where it's all just booze, 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 booze. Or it's either drink or come here and drink. Booze, 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 booze. And of course, they'll show one guy having a soda in the background, you know. I'm drinking the soda. I'm the designated driver for all these people. That was it. I mean, it's pretty obscene drinking too. I mean, it used to be when they realized that that you know, especially when like the Taste Great Less Filling, those ads came on out and they were really catchy. They started realizing, okay, we got to be responsible here. Said, don't drink and drive. That was the message you have to. That evolved into drink responsibly. Whatever the hell that's supposed to mean. But we are dealing with something here, which, like I said, I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm not trying to be grandma wagging her finger. But there are two trends right now which, to a point, scare me. And it scares me because where we're at as a country, as divided as we are, as depressed as we are, as angry as we are, it seems like the solution that some people are putting forward is just start drinking all the time. The first trend is what alcohol comes in now. And it used to be, you know, beer. Okay. All right. Maybe you found someone that had a cider. Ooh, boy, look at me. I'm fancy schmancy. Or hard liquor. those were your it's one of those. And off you go. And you can mix it with something, but that was it. The first one was the hard iced tea and the hard lemonade. Those are the first ones that broke through. And I thought they tasted atrocious. I mean, I remember I was at a Twins game and they had a hard lemonade and I drank them like, oh, ugh. I mean, I'd rather let that frozen lemonade just thaw completely and drink that as opposed to drink this. But they were popular. They were popular. Like, I'm not drinking a beer. I'm drinking just a spiked lemonade or this, and like it was a good option. But that started to evolve. And eventually we got to sodas with alcohol in them, don't have to mix them anymore, alcohol in them, ready to go, and they're just in the skin. The first, and that was the reason I think I noticed that first, was they just come in a pack that looks like a regular soda bottle. I undoubtedly, some kids popped one of those, you know, ooh, orange soda, and glug, glug, glug. Undoubtedly. There's some soda downstairs in the fridge, and they just, even by accident, oh, little Billy got sauce that day, you know. So much for fourth grade. You know, it's without a doubt. That's like, you know, that's pretty dangerous. You probably should put it in a different kind of packaging so it doesn't cross over. But, you know, I didn't want to look like I was being judgmental, so I kind of ignored it. Then came the seltzers. Holy God. White Claw, is it White Claw Hard Seltzer, now outsells Budweiser?
You can't go anywhere on the internet without seeing something about White Claw.
It's insane. And it's seltzer. It's booze. It's looks like it's water, a seltzer water, which is incredibly dangerous if you ask me, because you're drinking alcohol. You're not drinking water. And so if that's your replacement, that you don't like beer like this, fine. Okay, great. But you're not drinking water. You're drinking booze. That's a cocktail. And whether you want to call it a cocktail or not, that's a cocktail. And the way they market it is, I remember the first time, a few times I saw it, I thought it was just a new seltzer water. And then that's how they marketed it. New seltzer water. No kind of, hey, like this, take a break. Take a break with seltzer water? Oh, okay, that's a reach, but sure, why not? You know? But that was the case. And now it's coffee. Now they got the coffee with booze in it. You can buy bottles of coffee ready to go, booze ready. The one that knocked me off my chair was about a week ago. I saw juice. There's now a juice that's got a vodka. I think it's one of the vodka companies puts out a juice, and it's apple juice with vodka. It's, you know, grapefruit juice with that vodka in it. Ready to go. And it looks like juice. I mean, it looks like one of those juice bottles. You're getting a large juice for breakfast on a Sunday morning at the grocery store. It looks like that. I mean, outside of dairy, Outside of dairy, there's nothing right now that's being marketed, I think, in the USA that's got alcohol in it that's dairy. Although I have been reminded by a friend when I brought this up that in Mongolia there is a horse milk fermented beverage, which is wildly popular, that has yet to hit the USA. Get ready for it, kids, when it gets here. Boy, oh boy, who doesn't want horse milk fermented beverage? Mmm, yum. Just sounds delicious, doesn't it? But someone's going to do it. Someone is going to do it eventually. And so there isn't going to be a single drink that you can have that doesn't have an alcoholic version of it. Coffee, milk, heck, what, you know, why not just put Bailey's on your Frosted Flakes in the morning? It's close enough to milk, isn't it? And that, to me, is somewhat scary as a world where we are validating no matter what you drink. Were you going to drink a soda? Well, don't drink a soda. Drink a soda with booze. Were you going to drink a seltzer water? Well, don't drink a seltzer water. Drink a seltzer water with booze. You're going to have some juice? Well, dump out that sippy cup and fill it up with some 100-proof juice. Yeah, seriously, I mean, and it's kind of one of those things. I was like, is this really kind of a... Was this really a need? And apparently it was. But we already have a lot of people that drink throughout the day that, you know, it, I don't know. I just, it seems to be they're trying their hardest to find ways to sweet talk liquor into your life, for lack of a better way to say it. Hey, you know what? You don't like beer, but how about a seltzer water? It's a seltzer water with a kick. No, it's booze. It's a cocktail. Everything's a cocktail. The juice is a cocktail. The coffee is a cocktail. The soda's a cocktail. The seltzer, it's all a cocktail. It's all booze. But there's even, that by itself, okay, fine. They want to make a product. They want to market it. Fine. In the same sense as the reason why Jack Daniel's slaps their label on a barbecue sauce is not because they really wanted to get into barbecue sauce, is that they want to get their logo in front of children so they get brand loyalty young. I mean, that's an old advertising ploy. And that's why you see these crossover advertisements where all of a sudden a liquor company will sponsor a ketchup or a barbecue sauce or something of that nature just so they can get their logo on something that they can get in front of children, saying, see, it's a happy little logo. It's the barbecue sauce, people. Who wants something a little bit stronger than barbecue sauce? By the way, the barbecue sauce, 20 proof. So, but you know, that's the case. But there's another trend. Thanks to the guys at Coors Beer, which when I come on back, I'm astounded. I'm astounded we have gotten to this point and how we market alcohol to people. I'll talk about that when I do come back. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
The Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul is the perfect choice for breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Offering daily fresh seafood specials, fire-roasted meats, exquisite pizza, and half-price bottles of wine on Mondays and Tuesdays, except on Xcel Energy event nights. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, extensive wine list, and bar, you'll be back for more. Gift certificates and private dining room for parties available. Located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Chances are, after spring cleaning, you missed a spot. A couple really big spots, like your roof and siding. Run your fingers across your siding. You'll likely get a gross residue. And your roof probably has some black streaks, too. Your roof and siding aren't always easy to clean, but they're definitely the most visible parts of your home that give it its curb appeal. So let Blue Sky Services clean your roof and siding. Blue Sky's safe soft wash method won't cause any damages and will make your home look like new. Right now, Blue Sky Services is running their summer special where you can get your whole house, roof, and siding cleaned starting at only $447. That's the most viewed parts of your home cleaned for only $447. Then mention AM950 when you call Blue Sky Services to get an additional $50 off. So get the curb appeal back on your home and call Blue Sky Services at 952-467-2447. That's 952-467-2447.
When you need legal assistance, let the Hennepin County Bar Association help you find the right attorney. They have professional, experienced referral counselors who can connect you to vetted attorneys practicing in a wide variety of areas, including DUI, real estate, immigration, wills, injuries and accidents, and much more. Take the stress out of finding a lawyer. Call 612-752-6666 or search for Hennepin County Bar Association. The right call for the right lawyer.
The Center for Spirituality and Healing is offering mindfulness-based stress reduction, an 8-week course that will help you learn about the physiology and science of stress. You'll learn about taking control of your life, being aware of influences that affect your health and well-being, finding peace of mind, and returning to balance in a chaotic world. Discover how to consciously deal with stress, pain, illness, and the challenges of everyday life. Beginning September 19th, space is limited. Register now at csh.umn.edu.
I know there have been some flares. Some of the comments on the Facebook, the live stream we've got going on here on the individual streams. By the way, you can watch the show if you like. Go to AM 950 Radio on Facebook or Progressive Citizen X Matt McNeil Show on Facebook as well. You can watch the show. I know they've had this, but they've had it kind of unique. Now it's a product where it's not selling as vodka that flavors like this. It's a soda with booze in it. It's juice with booze in it. And that's different. That has not been the case. It hasn't been seltzer with booze in it. It's been, here's the booze, here's the seltzer. Mix them together. Now it's kind of way. Also, I will say that, you know, Lisa brings up on one of the streams as well, it's becoming very difficult to figure out when kids are drinking. And like I said, all you need is the seltzer water. Lime-flavored seltzer water. Who thinks it's anything worse? All you need is basically, you can just take it in a bottle. No one's going to know the difference. And that's, and you know, it used to be the case where, you know, kids would try to sneak a beer or something like that into a football game on a Friday night. But, you know, now it's, you know, they can carry in their drink beverage and no one even thinks they're drinking booze. And you know, it's not like you can smell the kid that's got vodka on him or anything like that. Like I said, I'm not trying to be mothery here. I'm just being observational. But there is a new trend which takes all of that and makes it even scarier. And it's courtesy of Coors Brewing, who has come up with this brilliant new ad campaign. It's basically an ad campaign about just trying to relate to the everyday kind of person and how they drink. One of the most common ones is it's the beer you have if you're a woman. It's the beer you have when you come home from work and you take your bra off. And they actually have an ad where the woman takes her bra off and she has a beer at the end of the day. Okay. Not really an issue. Then there was the ad about the beer in the shower. The beer you have in the shower. Now, at first when I saw this, I said, okay, you know, I don't, you know, you see what I do for a living. It's not exactly heavy lifting here. So I don't, you know, you work a job where you're working and you get dirty and you get tired. You come home, you want to grab a beer and jump in the shower, get cleaned up. How am I supposed to, you know, you really, I mean, some people do that, obviously. But then I went back and rewatched the ad. There is nothing in that ad that says it's the end of the day shower. It's just the shower. It could be your first shower of the day. And they're putting out this idea of, hey, shower time, you just woke up. You got a job that's extremely unrewarding, and you're angry about how life is going right now. Why not start off at 7 a.m. with a Coors beer? Drink responsibly. As he's in the shower having a beer. Go watch the ad. It's on YouTube. You know, Coors beer shower. Just type in the Coors ad shower. You'll see it. It doesn't say it's the end of the workday. It's just, hey, you're getting up trying to figure out how you're going to get through another day? Well, how about a beer to start it off? And if it wasn't, and okay, obviously the impression is they're supposed to be the end of the workday. But if you were thinking to yourself that's not exactly where Coors was going, they've released another new ad. The beer of Saturday morning drinking. Your Saturday morning beer. And it shows two guys in Jam Jams coming on out to the couch, sitting down and cracking open some beers at 8, 9 in the morning. Just in case the shower ad was a little bit, didn't hit you on the head right way. It's time, it's O Beer 30. Now, once again, I will trust everyone out there to be the adult. And if you really want to have that beer, that comes with consequences. If you want to have that booze, you want to have a hard seltzer in the water, or a coffee, an alcoholic coffee, which they sell now in the morning. You know what? I tell you what, I mean, I'm having a hard time getting going today. A little hair of the dog to help me get up the going. Next thing you know, it's every morning. Next thing you know, it's like, oh, you know, I got my water bottle here at the office, you know, and I'm all kind of sneaky sneak on there. Then all of a sudden, every day you got the sneaky sneak. Have a soda with lunch. Well, it's not a soda anymore. You're all adults. You all do your own thing. But this is a message that is getting pushed upon us. And you see, as too many times we all say to ourselves, well, we're grown adults. Drink responsibly. Come on, Matt. Didn't you read that? Drink responsibly. This is not on us. We're just giving them options as that they can crack open a beer at 7 in the morning. And that we're validating that. And we're saying it's okay. And we're saying it's cool that you're having a beer in the shower. And it could be a morning shower. Fine. If that's what they need to get through the day, that's what we're telling them. But hey, we're not telling them to do that. We said drink responsibly. That's the bull crud. That's the bull crud right there. Is they're doing everything in their power to get booze down your throat at all hours of the day. But then when you do it, they act as if, well, we're not guilty of anything. We told you to drink responsibly. If this was geared towards kids, we would have arrested every one of these marketing people and most of the beer companies. We would have. The reality is that we just play it off and say, oh, well, it's no big deal just because they're saying to do this. Until all of a sudden you have that cousin or uncle or husband or child who all of a sudden one day, hard seltzer to start off the day is not the worst idea. And it starts down a path. And when you do become an alcoholic and you do end up having problems, what's the first thing they say? Well, this is you've got to deal with this. When it comes to this stuff, it's as if they're almost kicking open the door of your house, putting the funnel in your mouth and, starting to pour the bottle in there and say, well, you'd better stop us or else. But then when you start drinking, it's not our responsibility now. I mean, it was bad enough when you'd see beer ads where the one guy would take a 12-pack of beer to the party by himself. The implication, hey, you're sharing it with friends. Well, they already got 3 buckets full of beer here. The implication is that's your beer. And frankly, I've seen a lot of people that can knock back a 12-pack of beer in a sitting. And it's kind of scary. You do what you want. But part of what I do here is to point out things which just don't add up. And for the alcohol companies to basically try to get alcohol into every beverage in America and then tell you things like, yeah, that morning shower, have a beer in there. Hey, crack, waking up Saturday morning, time for a beer. Well, they shouldn't be given a pass for that. They shouldn't be getting a pass for that at all. That's some dangerous rhetoric, dude. It is. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come on back. I, through extensive research at McNeil University, have evaluated the historical record of Donald J. Trump. Ugh, it's ugly. I'll break it down when I come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Robert Mueller and national security agencies warn that foreign governments will engage in massive election hacking in 2020, and the state's election systems are wide open. Mitch McConnell is blocking legislation that would secure our election systems. 25 to 30 nationwide protests are scheduled around the country on the Secure Our Vote Day of Action, September 17th. We need you to join us Tuesday, September 17th at noon in front of Senator Amy Klobuchar's office building. A representative from Senator Klobuchar's office and an expert on election system vulnerabilities will speak. Even though Minnesota's election system is relatively secure, no election system is unhackable, and other states are not prepared. Experts say we only have a few months to get these funds released in time for states to complete upgrades by the 2020 election. We must act now. So let's protest and send Moscow Mitch a message on Tuesday, September 17th at noon in front of Senator Klobuchar's office building. It's located at 1200 South Washington Avenue in Minneapolis to demand secure elections. More details at secureourvote.us.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. It's clearance time at Rudy Luther. The 2019s not only feature low clearance pricing, but most vehicles have huge factory rebates from Toyota as well. The Toyota Highlander is sensational with premium interior, room for up to 8, 5 USB ports, and a powerful design. Right now, get either $3,000 cash back or 0% financing for 60 months on the Highlander, but you need to go see them before they're all gone. Stop by Rudy Luther Toyota today, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis on 394.
The Fall St. Paul Art Crawl, presented by the St. Paul Art Collective, will be running the weekend of October 11th, 12th, and 13th. This is a must-do experience that you will love. The St. Paul Art Crawl showcases the diversity of art that St. Paul has to offer. By nurturing a vibrant arts community, the Art Crawl inspires artistic growth and fosters a creative exchange of ideas. Throughout the weekend, you'll have the chance to explore fabulous art while touring through local artist studios, lofts, and galleries. Hosting over 350 artists, up for purchase will be paintings, photography, pottery, sculpture, fiber arts, and more. And when you buy local art, you're providing to artists so that they may continue to create the art we love. The Metro Transit is supporting the local art community with a free transit pass for Saturday and Sunday. Download your pass to ride buses and light rail for free during the art crawl. Be sure to get all the details at stpaulartcrawl.org. That's stpaulartcrawl.org.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. By the way, Hazel's Northeast, one of the best breakfasts in town. Go try them out this week. 26 and Johnson, Northeast Minneapolis. It is the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. By the way, before the end of the show today, we got a pair of tickets to give away to Seavers Fall Festival. They got their new location down in Shakopee. They are down there, and they open for the weekend. They open this weekend, so they're ready to go. A pair of tickets to give away for you for Seavers Fall Festival coming up here before we're done today on the show. And Brett's coming up next with the repertoire just in a bit. Steve making a comment, by the way, on one of the Facebook feeds. Relapse rate among alcoholics is over 80%, but sure, drink responsibly. We'll take care of it. Exactly. Exactly. And there is this mentality of – we have this mentality that an alcohol company can basically tell you drink, and do the bare minimum of say drink responsibly at the very end of it, and then it's all on everyone else. And when you look at the amount of alcoholic advertisement that people are inundated with, it's relentless. It's freaking relentless. And I'm very concerned where we're going as a country right now, because this is it. Are we heading back to the 1825 days where just get your barrel of cider? Who doesn't want a good old ladle full of cider now and then? It's made from apples, man. You against apples? Is that what it is? You're against apples? You're against healthy eating? Yeah. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. So. I did some research. I always do enjoy when I get to do some research. This is an article I got up on the Progressive Citizen X blog right now. There's links to it on the Facebook page on the Twitter feed. And it involves an interesting thought. As I'm driving across the country, coming back from South Carolina about 3 weeks ago, I'm looking across and I just start – what it was is I passed – was it – yeah, the Harris – there's a sign for the William Henry Harrison birthplace in Indiana. Oh, I'm sure there's a line.
And I saw that as well. Clearly, Trump is he worse than Harrison? Probably not. Harrison was in office for 31 days and then he died. Which brought me to the thought. It's like, okay, well, how would I gauge Trump against the worst that we've ever had? Because it's an interesting question. And so I decided what I was going to do was – and it took me a while to eventually get this done because I actually did a lot of research on this. I'm kind of geeky. I like history anyway. So I took it upon me. First thing I did is I went and I looked at where presidents usually rank that are in the bottom of the list here, the worst presidents of all time. Now, there have been 45 presidents, but technically only 44 people have become president because Grover Cleveland served as the 22nd and 24th president. There was a term in the middle there. So and I believe it was Harrison's grandchild, Benjamin Harrison, was the guy in between the Cleveland terms. But so there's 44 people. And if you look at the initial list, Trump has ranked 44th and 42nd. Now, I said to myself, okay, where would I put this guy? If I was to evaluate his record at this point, it's hard to do something like this, though, because you are taking, and I'm not going to deny the fact that I think you can look through President 1 through 15 and say, well, yeah, you were for slavery and you pretty much were atrocious to the Native Americans. And including many presidents past that were atrocious to the Native Americans. It's hard because taking the prism of modern, right and wrong, and looking at actions of the past when it wasn't considered right or wrong, it's hard to gauge because obviously, a guy like Andrew Jackson's rotten in hell. I mean, that guy should be rotting in hell. And he's a horrible human being. But there's a lot of people that rank him somewhat high on these lists because of the things that he did, especially his fight against the Bank of America's and his fights with the House and the Senate, which kind of went on to establish the what's supposed to be the how the country is operated. So I decided to do it, one by one. Start with Zachary Taylor. He was after Polk. I think it was 1850. I think was his term. He died in office. And as a matter of fact, he and Trump had a horrendous diet. Both of them would eat, weren't good eaters. Zachary Taylor died from eating what is described as a copious amount of raw fruit with dairy, with milk in a day before refrigeration. First of all, even if it wasn't covered with whatever it was that killed you. Who wants warm milk on fruit? Now 40 proof. There you go. That's what killed him. At the same time, he had some fruit. That's better than Trump. So, does a honey mustard dipping sauce count as fruit? No, Mr. President, it doesn't. Darn. He was, disconnected from his cabinet and Congress. Who was aloof. I say about aloof, he basically just – they existed. He existed. And I think that that's exactly what Trump is like. There was the Galphin affair under Zachary Taylor, which was a scandal that entwined one of his secretaries and his administration in a payout there, which was bad. Hands down, though, if you compare them, Trump's record so far is worse than Zachary Taylor's. Herbert Hoover. Obviously, the poor sod that was left, holding when the music stopped, he was the guy without the chair, the Republican that didn't have the chair. He did. And you do have to look at what Calvin Coolidge did to the guy. The Coolidge screwed him over, and he had, he took over an economy that was not, there was nothing that was going to save it at the time he did. It's just that he was so foolish and so stupid that everything he tried to do afterwards only made it worse. And, when you look at Trump and you look at the Trump tax cut, reminder, the economy is going to be saved by the Trump tax cut. All the money went to the wealthy. Very little went to the middle and lower class. I don't think any went to the lower class. The little bit that did go to the middle class was just chewed up by new tariffs on goods. So those got taken away. It's exploded the deficit. It hasn't even come close to covering the GPA that they said it would. And many experts have said it's actually going to be the catalyst for a major economic downturn. I'm going to give it to Trump. And granted, it was the Great Depression, but at the same time,
you know, it's no, I'm going to give it to Trump because, you know, he knew. I mean, every economist, even Republican economists, looked at him and said, this is a bad idea. And he said, nope. At least Hoover had all of his Republican buddies saying, yeah, that looks like it's going to work. And it didn't. Tyler was an odd duck. He was you know, sometimes we get, you know, the party politics is weird today. Tyler was the vice president for Harrison. So he ran as a Whig. He was the Whig vice president. And Harrison died. He became the first person to ascend from the vice presidency to the presidency. And immediately upon taking office, reverted back to his old party, the Democrats. So he is the Whig president. The vice president becomes the president and then basically becomes an independent and infuriated his own party. I would say that the similarities there are that the Whigs try to rein Tyler in, the Republicans have tried to rein Trump in. But the thing was, the big difference is I actually found that Tyler was probably worse than Trump under this guise, is that the modern Republican loves Trump for basically sticking his finger in their nose and telling them off. Yes, sir, may I please have another? Back then, the Whigs were not too – the Whigs wanted to – when they came to power, that was their first president who won, was Harrison. They wanted to basically fire every Democrat that was in government offices and replace them with Whigs, very modern Republican. And you know, Harrison refused, and then Tyler switched parties. And so they weren't able to do it, but that was another comparison. But I actually think Tyler was worse. Millard Fillmore, Franklin Pierce, those two are two incompetent boobs. Fillmore took over for the rest of Tyler's term. Pierce had his own term. Neither one of them. We needed actually someone that was going to have the ability to try to solve the slavery problem. And one of the problems we had was Zachary Taylor, Millard Fillmore, Franklin Pierce, and James Buchanan, ding, 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 right in a row. All of them were trying to deal with slavery by basically taking the slave owner side. And that's just the reality of it. They all – every solution these guys put forward was to appease the slave owners of the South as opposed to actually looking at it. And I'll get to Buchanan eventually, but, I mean, he was the biggest stooge of them all. But, you know, the Kansas-Nebraska Act, I mean, that led to – many people say the Civil War started actually in Kansas earlier because of Pierce. And they were actually all out war in the street in Kansas between anti and pro slavery movements over there. And, you know, nothing is as bad for Trump as slavery was. But when you look at having to deal with a problem that we know exists, what Trump has done with, say, climate change is he's reversing things. He's stopping clean energy acts. He's encouraging the use of fossil fuels and even getting stuff rid of like light bulbs and stuff. I mean, he's reverting back. I mean, Pierce and Fillmore were bad, but they didn't say, what was the year we had the most slaves imported? Let's go back to those standards. I mean, I once again gave it to Trump. Just pure ignorance. W made the list. He's already kind of down there. A lot of people look at him. Look at Trump's foreign policy, for God's sakes. I mean, we can definitely look at the Gulf War and the Second Iraq War, and I'm not making light of that. That was truly horrible what Dick Cheney and those guys did. But the reality is when you look at the monumental scope of destruction to our foreign policy, hands down, Trump. That's not even close. Ulysses S. Grant. Once again, Trump was worse. I mean, the cabinet, he had a really bad cabinet. And, you know, as I was when I compared Ulysses S. Grant's cabinet to Trump's cabinet, check and mate for Trump, the sheer magnitude of unqualified buffoons Trump has placed around him, many of whom have already been caught grifting off taxpayers, is truly astounding. When Rick Perry is your steadiest rock, sweet Jesus. And don't tell you the truth. And by the way, in the history of elections, the only thing that comes close to what happened in 2016 with the Russians basically helping Trump get elected was what happened after Grant left office and Rutherford B. Hayes became president. Hayes had lost. He had actually lost the election. Grant went to the southern states and said, we'll leave. We'll pull the northern troops out if Hayes wins. We'll start the withdrawal. And so all of a sudden, all these southern states took their ballot boxes, ran away, and came back and said, funny story, Hayes actually won. Remember when we told you that we had already awarded all of our elections? We were lying then. Seriously, it was a mess. But even still, that wasn't working with a foreign government to steal an election, for goodness sakes. I actually give William Henry Harrison, the guy that died after 31 days, he was worse than Trump. just because he didn't have a record. And you got to be fair about that. Harding, holy crud, was Harding corrupt. But here's the crazy part about Warren G. Harding. Whether it was his director of Veterans Bureau, Charles Forbes, and all the corruptness that he did, the Teapot Dome scandal, his attorney general likely working with bootleggers and definitely taking bribes for the American Metal Works. We found out about all that stuff well after Harding had died out of in office and Coolidge took over. And people went to jail. We already know about the insane amount of things that Trump has done. So once again, Trump wins. I mean, I can't even comprehend the things we're going to find out about Trump after he's out of office. Johnson, now we're getting into really bad guys, but Johnson was truly horrible. But I'd make an argument, what Trump has done to sow the division in America and encourage white supremacists, racists, and bigots is, in my opinion, is as bad as what Johnson did. When he vetoed the Civil Rights Act, he was against the 14th Amendment and he pandered to the white slave owners after the election. I actually gave that one to Trump as well. And I called it a tie in regards to James Buchanan. And the reason why that is the case is that it's Buchanan was truly ignorant, but so is Trump. Trump is not qualified. When I stayed awake on election night in 2016, it wasn't because the rhinos owned the libs. It was because a man who was not qualified to be the night manager at a Waffle House had just been elected the president of the United States. And we've all been proven correct. You have to be, I don't know, drinking all day long to think that Donald Trump has actually been mildly competent, undeniably. The worst president. I put a link on that to the Progressive Citizen X on the Facebook page. I'll repost that again tonight. Brad is in Robbinsdale. Welcome on in, Brad.
Okay, well, I know someone worse than Trump, and that is Charles VI of France, the Valois King. Again, he was known as the Glass King, and for months he spent himself in isolation and would wander the palace naked and then cover his body with his own feces.
Well, yeah, that's, I mean, okay, check and mate for the French dude. I will say this, I can go as well to Mad King Ludwig. Vlad the Impaler seemed to have his issues. And, you know, I guess you could say, we can go worldwide on this. I'm just looking at the United States president. Hey, let's give away a pair of tickets to Seavers Fall Festival right now. If you're looking for some fall fun, by all means, caller number five. Caller number five right now, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Caller number five, you'll win a pair of tickets to Seavers Fall Festival. Good luck. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
So, you're finally coming to grips that it's time to replace your carpet. Or maybe you want to update the look of your favorite room. Lucky for you, there's Z Floors by Zero Res. It's my trusted one-stop shop for all my flooring needs. So when nothing but new will do, check out the new Zero Res flooring experience at z-floors.com.
Also, right now, it's the Zero Res end of summer sale where you can get three rooms of carpet clean starting at only $129. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit zeroresminnesota.com.
Tom Hartman here for All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that you save more if you wait, but waiting to switch can actually cost you more. While tax rebates make solar affordable, those rebates are often limited and decrease over time. So when you wait, you risk losing some of the incentives that make solar so easy to afford today. And besides, the sooner you get your All Energy Solar system, the sooner you reduce or even eliminate that high electricity bill. Make the switch today at allenergysolar.com.
Hi, this is Chad from AM 950. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, window, and insulation contractor in the metro. Ryan is so excited about working with AM 950 and our listeners that he wants to help us grow.
This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. I was friends with Chad long before I started marketing with him. I was a bit skeptical of radio advertising before Chad convinced us to run ads. The advertising's been so successful, we want to help the station grow. We've absolutely loved working with the listeners of AM 950, and we all know how extreme extremely important this radio station is to the community. To help AM 950 grow this summer, Snap Construction will be putting up proceeds to assist the station in marketing on social media. Snap Construction encourages you to follow, engage, share, and interact on the AM 950 social media platforms. Together, we can all work to ensure AM 950 continues to thrive and grow in our communities. We stand by our work with a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee. For a free estimate or more information on our financing, call 612-333-SNAP or check us out online.
Imagine cyber criminals waiting outside your network, probing for weaknesses. What if you're next? Well, what if you had a team of experts to navigate you through these what-if waters? Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rymark with a unique offer, a free network security assessment. We'll uncover the hidden threats to your business and provide you with a map to peace of mind. Call 651-328-8900 or go to RymarkIT.com to schedule your free security assessment and stop drowning in what-ifs.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Who's our winner there, Sam?
Jeff Nelson.
Jeff. And what city is he in?
Prior Lake.
Prior Lake. All right. Jeff and Prior Lake. Enjoy those. The Cedars Fall Festival is great fun. If you've not been down there, they've got their brand new location. They have actually moved down into Shakopee. This is likely going to be their permanent home now. Stop on by. They opened this last weekend. They're open Friday, Saturday, Sundays, as they're heading in from September to October. It is that time of year out there, and it's gorgeous weather out right now. Holy cow. Hopefully it holds out for you this weekend if you're wanting to hang on down there. But it's just absolutely spectacular. Yesterday, what a great weekend to open up the Cedars Fall Festival. Wow. It must have been absolutely tremendous out there yesterday. So enjoy those, Jeff. Listen for your chance. I got a pair of tickets to give away every day this week. So listen for your chance to win coming up later on tomorrow's show. I got to talk about the bag of soup that is Jeff Hagedorn down in Minnesota 1. So they're talking about gun violence. And Hagedorn takes an interesting tactic in regards to dealing with gun violence and addressing the people. A woman suggested steps to quickly disarm people who may be batterers or who are themselves the biggest victim of gun violence for people with mental health or people who are taking their own life. A very true fact. I mean, that's one of the things we don't talk about. There's a lot of people that commit suicide with guns. And, you know, the fact that they're so readily available, there's a lot of people that commit suicide via gun. Hagedorn has a message for all those dead people, young or otherwise. I don't believe in suicide, he begins. I think it's terrible. My religious background tells me if you kill yourself, you go to hell. It's a bad thing. Now, I added the extra emphasis on the hell part, but holy crap. One guy in the crowd yelled, "What?"
Perfect reaction.
What? So, Jim Hagedorn, if you are, I mean, dear Lord, is this compassionate conservatism? Is this really it? Telling anyone who's had to deal with the loss of a family member or friend who's committed suicide that, hey, just to let you know, your loved one's burning in hell. God, you tactless jackass. Seriously, what the hell's wrong with you, you moron? Is this really your compassionate conservatism? You know, shaming the dead. Oh, your little Billy committed suicide because it just life was hard for him? Well, let you know, he's burning in hell. He is. He's going to hell for that. God, bag of soup. Minnesota 1, you wanted that. You wanted the bag of soup. And you got the bag of soup. Compassionate conservatism does not exist in this world. That is an oxymoron. We got Brett up next. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.